It is our honour and our privilege, Lord God, to be found in you, to be known as yours, to have by faith what we cannot earn. We thank you that we have been brought into your family and shown love and grace and mercy. Nonetheless, we can still feel very alone. And we pray that we would be a church that ministers not just to people who we can identify with and people who we enjoy, but that we would be able to worship you as a single body in Christ for the glory of your name. Amen. And I thought what I would do as a slight change in tack is to look at a topical sermon. We've been dealing with life in the family, and we've been looking at specific groups: fathers, or husbands and wives, fathers and children. And yet I couldn't carry on without considering a group that sometimes we neglect. And as I was writing down the people who I was looking to speak to today, there was an astonishment that all the labels that are given to these folk are labels that none of them want to wear. They bear the marks of being excluded from so-called normal life. There are folk who are sitting here in the church, or possibly have given up on church, because they feel excluded and they don't know how people would relate to them. And I've got to ask the question, would these folk find a home in our church? So when I started looking at various Christians, I wondered how they would relate to our church. Steph correctly said, those people were never married. And yet you look at how effective they were as God's people. But nonetheless, they must have been lonely from time to time, just wishing that they had a significant other, somebody who would understand them and walk alongside of them. There's the next group, C.S. Lewis. There's a clue written in numbers behind the names. Joni Erickson Tyler, William Wilberforce, Rebecca St. James, Martin Luther, Chris Tomlin. They married late in life. So all of those were married, you know, where a girl is sort of 26, 27, 28, and she thinks, nobody's ever asked me out, I think I'm on the shelf. It gets longer and longer, and you wait longer and longer. You see Joni Erickson Tyler at 33. My sister at the age of 40 was never married. Different, not having a spouse until later in life. There's a third set of people. I couldn't get all the numbers down the side. But all of those were either orphaned very early on in their lives, or they were brought up by people who were not biological parents. I'll tell you a little bit about George Washington Carver in a moment. There's a fourth list of folk. As Olga said, people whose spouses died when they were relatively young. Some of them went on to marry again. But Hudson Taylor lost his wife when she was 33. Eric Liddell died at the age of 43. Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of Jim Elliot, he died as a missionary, age 29. Jerusha Brainerd, wife of David Brainerd, died at the age of 29. I can't ever put myself in your place, and I can't ever imagine what it's like to lose a loved one. I don't know what it's like living a lonely life, even though there are people all around you. Each one of them and countless others in the community wear that label that nobody wants to wear. Divorced. Widowed. Single. Probably worse than bachelor, spinster. Orphaned. It's not due to their own choosing. And so many of them say, where do I fit in? How do I relate to others? You've just finished a sermon, Life in the Family. I don't have a family. How am I supposed to fit into Christchurch Hilton? Apart from anything else, what I would really love is for this to be the start of the discussion that we need to have. I need to know how to relate to other people. I need to know what to do to people who have lost loved ones. And they sent me a message yesterday just to say, please pray that we would learn to adapt without Petros. He was so strong in their family. So many people would love to be a part of a small nuclear family. One bachelor said, I'm single by choice, but it's not my choice. And while there's a slight amusement to what he's saying, it's really serious. It's a cry for help. And it's not just the people who have lost loved ones and they're never likely to see their loved ones. There are increasingly more people who are working away from their nuclear families. Husbands who are working in Cape Town or Heidelberg, Johannesburg, DRC, Dubai. And they come back from time to time. Yes, you may well feel alone. So let's just look at this whole aspect of people all around you, but just still feeling alone. I don't know what it's like to be a single parent and lose your only child. I've gone through childhood with a mom and dad who have loved me and cared for me. I've never had to grow up as an orphan. My mom did, with her 7 siblings, orphaned from the time she was, I think, 8. I don't know what that's like. I can't experience that. I don't know what it's like to not have a spouse next to me for 50 years of my life. A person over 40 and still yearning to have a meaningful relationship with someone to share joys and sorrows. I've never had to negotiate the hard pathways and pitfalls and selfishness that divorce brings. And what I played that song from the Beatles for is they could identify the problem, but they couldn't give you an answer. Look at all the lonely people. Father McKenzie, Eleanor Rigby. Oh, look at all the lonely people. But it just leaves us in exactly the same place we were when we started, and I don't want our church to do the same. Nobody's walked your path. Nobody can know what you've experienced except the Son of God, who left his Father in heaven and died on a cross when all his closest friends had walked away. He knows what that's like. People all around looking and jeering at him while he was hanging on the cross. He knows the loneliness. And he knows your thoughts before they enter your brains. He knows your motives before they become actions. It's the Lord who knows the sadness of Corrie ten Boom. It's the Lord who knows the isolation of C.S. Lewis, the heartache of Hudson Taylor, and the longing for a family of George Washington Carver, a slave whose both parents died under their slave master and he had to live as a slave. He became huge in making peanuts in the United States, and he did well for himself. But that didn't cure his loneliness. Didn't cure his past. Though I can't feel what you're feeling, it doesn't make me unresponsive to your cries, to hear how you've endured disappointments, felt the depth of loneliness, coped through your belief of your own unworthiness, or perhaps even felt ostracized by the Christian community. I hope that in our series on how to be a good husband or wife or child or parent, you haven't felt ostracized as if the only functional way for a Christian to live is being in relationship with somebody else as your husband or your wife and have 2.4 children in the normal average home. We must know your needs. We must include you as family. And we must help you to know what it is to be a part of a greater family. We must support and encourage you, not as people who have no status in this world, but people who have a family made up of individuals as you really are. Not wanting you to get into the married club, that as soon as we see somebody who's reaching 30, we say, we've got to pair you up with somebody. And suddenly you being invited with other people to say, wouldn't this be the perfect match? No, but just to enjoy you as a brother and sister or a grandparent or a grandchild. And even though you may never have children, you can still be a grandparent in this family. You can still lead little ones and show them the love of Jesus Christ and give them some role model to follow. We want to include you. But we need to be led by you as to how we can do that more effectively. Because everybody's situation is different. So my first question is, do you feel alone? My second question would be, how would you label yourself? I think many of us have been to those organized functions where everybody's got their label. They've been given a label when they walk in. But invariably, somebody's name is misspelt. And it's crossed out, and they put the right spelling underneath. Because it's precious to them. Worse still is if they've got the wrong name. Wrong first name or the wrong surname, and you've had to cross that out. Or maybe you've got a name that is a nickname and everybody knows you as something else. And you've never liked your name, Herbitude or whatever it was, and you've just said, well, I'll be known as Herbie, that's far better. Whatever it is, you just cross out whatever you don't want. It's a label that you've got. And the label shows us that we are important and the way people see us is important. A number of years ago when my father passed away, my mom said, never call me a widow. Didn't realize the significance of that. As old as I thought she was, she said, I'm too young to be a widow. That label means everything. She opposed it at every turn. I want you to lift your gaze for a moment, because so often we are branded with those labels and we don't like them, we don't want them, and we don't ever want to be referred to that label. I want you to think what it would be like for us all to wear the label, a child of God. Superseding the label manager, or special needs, or president, or married, handicapped. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we dropped all of those marks and our true identity is found in Jesus Christ? There are some people that we want to distance in our own families. I guarantee if there was a serial rapist who had the surname Stimson, I wouldn't go looking as to how I was related to him. Oh, but I'll tell you, if somebody could find my relationship to Joe Biden, maybe not Joe Biden, let's choose somebody else, but choose the person that you want. You would look for that and you'd say, hey, did you know that I'm the second cousin twice removed? Joe Biden is actually my step cousin's first brother, or whatever it is. Yeah, we wear some badges with honor. And the badge I think we can wear with honor is a child of God, irrespective of our marital status. I don't think the church has played its part in welcoming people who are so-called single. We're not compassionate enough towards children who are weak and vulnerable. We tend to shove aside people who have been divorced. We don't know how to speak to people who have recently lost loved ones because they may burst into tears. And I don't know what to do with a crying person. How selfish we are when we do that. And we don't consider how much they just need an arm around them. Word of comfort. Somebody just to be there. There was a lady whose husband died. She said to me, John, I didn't know how I was going to cope the first Sunday in church after the funeral. The for the first time in my life, I had to walk into church without somebody sitting next to me. I would never even noticed. But she said somebody in the church did. It was a younger woman who didn't say anything. She just came and sat down next to me. That's all she did. Without saying a word, every now and so often, she just put her hand on my knee. But we sat there and we sang glorious hymns together. You see, we need to know how to care for you. We need to know how to love you. And whereas that might not mean anything to me, it means everything to a person who's sitting alone. We need to think creatively about how we should welcome what is a growing number of single and familyless people. At the last ladies' retreat, there was a stat quoted that less than 50% of people in Britain are married. That's cutting out half the population. And if the church isn't welcoming, they're going to go elsewhere. How drastic that those people would rather go and volunteer for a non-Christian organization than volunteer for service in the church. In Africa, where there are absent fathers and child-headed households, our percentage of single people must be far higher. And it's a worrying figure. I hope it's not too late for us to change our outlook. We mustn't feel that every single person isn't a complete person unless they've been married. Or a couple who are battling to conceive are less than a nuclear family unless they've got 2.5 children. Worse still, to organize seminars for widowed people. I'd love us all to identify ourselves as part of the living church of Jesus Christ in Hilton. To belong to Jesus, to be known as his children and part of the Christ Church family. I said, I played the song Eleanor Rigby at the start of the service because what the Beatles were able to do was they identified the problem. All the lonely people. And that's even become worse nowadays. The Beatles looked and they saw the problem. They wrote down the poor minister who nobody listens to. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice at the wedding. Recognize the issue, but the Beatles are leaving the people in exactly the same position as they were when they started. I want to give you an honest answer. I hope it's not trite when you ask the question, why does the Lord not intervene? Lord, how long before this burden is lifted? I want to point you to the one who, while surrounded by both admirers and adversaries, was still here in this world by himself, and he lived an extremely lonely life. The Savior understands. He cares for you. He loves you. And quite rightly, the single person might just say, I need more than an emotional band-aid. I want to see some action. When is the Lord going to step in? When is he going to prove his love for me? I need to ask you firstly, what would you like me, or what would you like the church to do? Unless we know what your needs are, we can't walk alongside of you. We can't help you. We can't be with you through troubled times. What can we do to assist you where you are? Then may I pose the question, what would you like God to do? You know exactly what you want the Lord to do. It's been a subject of your prayers for many, many, many weeks, days, years, centuries. You know exactly what you want the Lord to do. And you might not be able to bring your husband back, allow you to see your daughter again, give me parents who love me rather than love their work, or find the ultimate spouse who ticks all the boxes. You see, the answers are as diverse as their number of people here. I acknowledge that we haven't truly cared for those who are lonely and vulnerable. But we must address the issue. Not holding this family up almost to the point of idolatry that this is the way to live. We need to reach out to people, not to make them part of the married brigade or the married with children club. Yes, there are those who have been called to singleness. It's not just those who have never married, but it's those who are grieving the death of a close family member or recently separated or having lived alone for 20 years and still feeling isolated. We have to look after you, and we're in this together. I think the bigger question is, what will it do? What do we need to do to help you to be content where you are at the moment? Marriages fall apart. Not everybody enjoys waking up with a spouse next to them in bed. Not everybody sees their partner every day. Some are living lonely lives because their spouse has removed themselves emotionally. Why does the Lord not intervene? How long before this burden is lifted? I think it's got to do with finding our contentment in the Lord where we are at the moment. Not being categorized or pushed aside, but to say, Lord, help me to be content with the calling you've given to me right now. Make me content in you with the conditions I face today. Let me know that there are other lonely people, and let me show that they have a family here until you change their status or mine. I wish you to be content in yourself as you are. Because sometimes we're so discontent that people tune out because we're coming like a stuck room. Who understands what a stuck record is nowadays? Like a GIF that is on full blast and you can't turn it off. I don't know what a comparison is. But not too long ago, I was banned from using the word frustrated in describing my day. It just got too much. And it was pulling everybody down around me, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just tuned out. You see, we show our discontent and our mistrust of the Lord's wisest plans. If we constantly come back and say, I'm frustrated because this is not what I signed up for. I would love to think that the people that I mentioned in those opening slides would find a home in Christchurch Hilton. I'd love to imagine that they wouldn't be described in the Beatles song as all the lonely people, but that they would find true fellowship here at the church. I would pray that we don't continue to isolate people or try to make them fit into our social box when they feel excluded and even more lonely when they first came to the church. My true prayer is that we would show accessibility and that we would really live as a family. Just because parents don't have children doesn't mean to say they can't be content. Just because parents have children doesn't necessarily make them content. Just because people have work or have money or have loving parents or have faith or have perfect freedom doesn't make us content. If we're disgruntled in life, we will be disgruntled with something until the Lord gives us his peace. We need to know what it is that would make you understand and fit into this family of God's church. And let me assure you, in God's timing, he will intervene. Preacher said that if we had full knowledge as God has, we wouldn't choose our lives to be any different. One day when we get that full knowledge, we will say the Lord has done all things well. So with the apostle, we can say, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That doesn't take away the need for the church to look after its people, because Paul himself shared how much the people had meant to him. And he said, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. We need to start the conversation and say, how do we meaningfully share in one another's troubles? Please pray with me. Loving Father, we acknowledge that there are always going to be times where we overlook individuals or groups of people in the church. We've got our own social and theological, physical, financial blinkers on. And so often when people don't fit into the group that we think they need to belong to, we leave them aside. It is to our shame, Lord God, that we confess this morning that we probably haven't done enough for the single people in our church, to walk alongside of them that they might know that we share in their troubles, even though we don't fully understand it. And I pray for those who are going through hard times, that they would know what it is to have lots and to have little, and to find their contentment in the Lord who understands and knows and cares and provides for them day by day. Allow us to minister effectively to one another, that we might be ministered to by different people as much as we minister to them. And we pray this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.